Show. I am Paul Molloy. Thank you for being with us. And along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, we got a lot going on today. It's the day after the New Hampshire primary. We thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, January the 24th. In a few minutes, James Carafano of the Heritage Foundation is going to join us. We're going to talk about his belief that Jews have a home with conservatives and the conservative movement. So stay tuned for that in just a few minutes. And Donald Trump tops Nikki Haley in New Hampshire. It was only by about 10 points. But now the question is, how long does Nikki continue the fight? And is there a real path for her to the Republican nomination? We're going to take a look at it. And have you ever heard of the Doomsday Clock? You know, it's been around since about 1947. It ticks ever closer to midnight as we get closer to a worldwide conflagration. So we are going to take a look at the history of the Doomsday Clock and what it would mean if it ever really did reach midnight. So stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, last show we gave you the top 10 closest Super Bowl games. Today, the top 10 most lopsided Super Bowl games. So stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop for the best haircut for men in Tampa Bay. I have never found a better place than Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. That's on Overcash Drive. It's just north of State Road 580, Main Street, in the plaza there. Call for your appointment if you would, because they're so busy. They're so good. It's 727-733-3773, Andrew's Master Barbershop. And Arbor Life Tree Service. If you have any problem with trees, and you know eventually if you own property, you're going to have a tree issue, one way or the other. Well, Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's premier tree service, whether it's for tree enhancement, tree removal, tree growth, stump grinding, whatever it is, Arbor Life. Call for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. All right, so I guess the inevitable happened yesterday. Nobody is surprised. Donald Trump won the New Hampshire primary. It's actually the first in the nation primary. He won by about 10 points the last I looked, over Nikki Haley, and it's not a real one-sided affair by any means, but he's the first Republican candidate to win competitive elections in both the Iowa caucus and the New Hampshire primary since 1976. So that may bode well for Donald Trump. Now, as you know, if you've been following things, Ron DeSantis ended his campaign a couple of days ago. So it came down to just Nikki Haley and the Trumpster. Now, Nikki has vowed to continue. In about a month, they're going to have the South Carolina primary. If she loses in her own state, she is from South Carolina. She was the governor there. If she loses South Carolina, I don't see how she continues. I just don't. Between them and now, there is a Nevada caucus coming up for Republicans. They actually have both a primary and a caucus in Nevada. And believe it or not, you only get the delegates from the caucus. You don't get any delegates from the primary. So there you go. And by the way, you know what the biggest issue was for Republicans? It was the border. That was the biggest issue for Republicans when they went to vote in New Hampshire. In the meantime, did you know that Joe Biden actually won the New Hampshire primary as a write-in candidate on the Democratic side? So he took aim right away at Donald Trump as soon as that happened. Biden's campaign manager released a statement on Trump winning New Hampshire, saying that the results confirmed Donald Trump has all but locked up the GOP nomination and the election, denying an anti-freedom MAGA movement has completed its takeover of the Republican Party. Woman is Julia Chavez Rodriguez, and she said, as the campaign manager, Trump is offering Americans the same extreme agenda that has cost Republicans election after election, promising to undermine American democracy, reward the wealthy on the backs of the middle class, and ban abortion nationwide. I'll tell you what, the only issue they've got, and it's a decent issue for Democrats, but the only issue that they're going to run on is the abortion issue. Here's the thing. Donald Trump is not a big pro-life guy. He is willing to cut deals with pro-choice people. So I don't know that that's going to be a huge issue for him. But Biden said the stakes could not be higher. He said it's clear that Trump will be the Republican nominee, and my message to the country is the stakes could not be higher. Our democracy, our personal freedoms, from the right to choose to the right to vote. You see, Biden thinks that you do not have the opportunity to vote if Donald Trump is running the country. He said, our economy, which has seen the strongest recovery in the world since COVID, they're all at stake. He says, I want to thank all those who wrote my name in this evening, because he was talking last night, who wrote my name in this evening in New Hampshire. He said it was a historic demonstration of commitment to our democratic process. And I want to say to all those independents and Republicans who share our commitment to our core values, our democracy, our personal freedoms, an economy that gives everyone a fair shot to join us as Americans. Let us remember, we are the United States of America, and there is nothing, nothing we can't do if we do it together. Where have I heard that before from him? He said that about 100,000 times. Anyway, that's what's going on with the New Hampshire. Did you watch any of that, Ed? Were you big on watching the primary? I would guess that you probably didn't watch a lot of it, but maybe I'm wrong.
Actually, I watched it from the beginning, to which when they first started polling, 1% was in, and Haley was in front because she had that one,
yeah,
you know, that she was 100%.
The very northern tip of New Hampshire, they always vote first.
As soon as 2% came in, it flipped.
Yes.
And then they didn't look back.
No, they didn't.
And then all night I kept hearing how she kept saying how I'm the one that's going to beat Joe Biden. Well, has anybody told her if you're not the nominee, you don't get to run? She figured that out yet.
I don't know if she has.
But what something's telling me, she's staying in it because she's been paid to stay in it. And all she's going to do from here on out is bash Trump, is all she's going to do. Because she's got no chance of winning the nomination. So what she's going to do is she's going to try to discourage people just from not voting for Trump or just voting for Biden. Sorry. That's what she's in it for.
Yeah.
Because if she was a true person on board with changing things, she would jump over and say, hey, listen, let's get with Trump and let's get Joe Biden out of here. Because what's the alternative?
Yeah, I think she's going to be in it until she either runs out of money or if she's really slaughtered in South Carolina. And every major politician, it sounds like, in South Carolina is backing Donald Trump. Did you see that? Everybody's backing Donald Trump in South Carolina that you can think of. The senators, the governor. If she loses, and she loses especially big there, I don't see why.
Where's
her path to victory after that?
And then she was saying, look how close it actually was. Well, she doesn't factor in the fact that DeSantis dropped out, too. So there were only two choices now, not three.
Well, we had a lot of independents in New Hampshire that voted for Nikki Haley.
Sure they did.
In fact, she got the majority of the independent vote that came over, that crossed over. She had more votes than Trump from the independent vote. Now, it does, it does show that Trump may have a bigger problem with independents than Nikki Haley would have, but Republicans are going to come out in droves to vote for Trump. The question is, can he get enough non-Republicans when he goes against DeSantis? Because I think when she says...
DeSantis, you mean...
I mean, Biden. Biden, excuse me. I'm having a Biden moment here. When she goes against... when he goes against Biden... because she, I think she can legitimately say the polls show that I, Nikki Haley, beat Biden by more than Donald Trump does.
That's fine, but if she's not the nominee, she can't run against it.
I agree.
So my thing would be to say, why are you in it? And I hate to say this, and if she is in it for this reason, if she's in it to sabotage Trump, she's in to sabotage the country.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good point. Listen, we got to take our break. Can't wait. James Carafano is going to join us. We are going to talk with James from the Heritage Foundation about his belief that the Jewish state and Jews in the United States have a home with conservatives and the conservative movement.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years. And two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so please call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrews, Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's Wednesday, and delighted to have you listening to us. By the way, I found a disturbing story this morning. American University in Washington, D.C. has been hit with a federal complaint alleging that Jewish and Israeli students have experienced, quote, persistent and threatening anti-Semitic rhetoric and conduct on campus. Now, a complaint was filed by the Brandeis Center for Human Rights earlier this month. They filed it with the Department of Education's Civil Rights Office, alleging that university staffers were, quote, fully aware of the pervasive and hostile environment for Jewish students. But, American University, I mean, come on. It's one more university where we are seeing this this anti-Semitic behavior. I mean, it really opened my eyes. And I'm delighted to have James Carafano join us. He is the E.W. Richardson Fellow at the Great Heritage Foundation. And he and a colleague of his, Jay Green, wrote a piece in the Jewish News Syndicate a little earlier in the month that Jews have a home in the conservative movement. James, welcome to Freedom Works.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the most important thing for people to wrap their head around, which is the rise of anti-Semitism in the United States, which has become profound. 60% of the hate crimes for example, in the United States were against Jews, who are like 2% of the population. This essentially, in every campus in America, you see this. Where did this come from? And this is a mass public movement. Where did it come from? It's not like the civil rights movement. You know, nobody paid the people to go sit at the lunch bar in Woolworths, right?
I mean, right.
Civil rights movement was a mass movement, right? There was a bunch of people saying, "Oh my God, this is terrible. We need to change this," right? This is a movement that was manufactured. Hate in America was the fact that all over the world they could get these people to go to the streets and protest for mosques and everything. It took money. It took infrastructure. It took penetrating institutions like American universities for years to lay the foundation of this.
Yeah.
This is like somebody who now has stage 3 cancer who never went to the doctor. That is the state of America today, particularly in American universities.
Yeah. You know, it seemed to come about, not come about, because it's been festering. I mean, now we realize it's been festering for a long time. But it was unleashed right after the October 7th massacre.
Right.
And the response on these different campuses, it opened my eyes. I remember when it seemed like Jewish people had a home in liberal ideology. And all of the campuses for many generations have been, you get a real liberal education, whether you want it or not, the ideology.
Right.
The liberal. And it always seemed like, Jewish people, had a home there. But that is not the case anymore, right?
No, they were lied to. They were told that, this is the place to come to be diverse and to be inclusive and to care about, people who are being victims and all that. This is your home. And give us all your money and your children, and we will create this wonderful place. And then it's like Pinocchio being taken to the toy land, where everybody thought it was about toys and they just wanted to turn you into slavish donkeys. I mean, they've been betrayed. I mean, they were seduced to the dark side, and then you find out that all your money, your children, are all going to support things which are actually against all your core values. And this is the argument that we made. It's like, okay, you heard, first of all, you sat around, you listened to people say crazy things about conservatives your entire life, to be hateful and to, smash your radio if Rush Limbaugh's voice was on it. So you were taught that. But then of course there are things that maybe you don't agree with conservatives on. You have different issues on stuff. But the reality is, look, conservatives don't agree with conservatives about everything. The difference between American conservatives and the left is the left has an orthodoxy.
Yes.
They have things you have to believe and support. Conservatives have things we're trying to do, and we don't all agree on them. And so that's the question that Jay and I raised in our article is you need to really ask yourself, are you in the right home? And just because people hate conservatives, and you may not agree with, Donald Trump or Nikki Haley or J.D. Vance or whatever, every single issue, would you look into your heart and soul at the things that you really believe in and you want for your kids and your family? Are you really in the right place?
You're absolutely right. And I often wonder down through the years, why Jewish people attached themselves to the Democratic Party like they did when they, of all people, had experienced what happens in some sort of a centralized, controlled environment. They never have done well. They've done well. Jewish people have done well in an open society, in a free market society. But it always seemed to me that maybe they were more economically conservative, but they were more socially liberal. Would you agree with that?
Because they were lied to, right? It was socially liberal. What does that mean? Well, it didn't mean all the nice, fluffy stuff they thought it did. It meant control and destruction and hatred. I think this is really summed up extremely well. I don't know if you saw this Twitter battle between Mark Cuban and Elon Musk, right? So Elon Musk basically condemns DEI. Says this is destroying who we are, And Mark Cuban says, what's your problem with DEI? Who doesn't want to be diverse? Who doesn't want to be inclusive, right? And it's like Mark Cuban doesn't get the joke, right? That he's not Jewish, but he doesn't get the joke, right? It's like, dude, it's not about justice. It's not about fairness. It's not about helping people. It's about political power and control and destruction. And so Jews, you know, American Jews were told, you know, you have wandered, you know, in the desert and you've come to America and the land of the American dream. And we are the home of the American dream. So come over to the Liberal Party. And the things they don't tell them is oh, yeah, by the way, we were anti-Semitic. You know, by the way, you know, we believe in the destruction of Israel. Oh, yeah, oh, by the way, you know, we don't believe in religion, right? Oh, by the way, you know, we don't actually even believe in families. And we're not even sure what a man and a woman is.
Yeah.
And then it's like, that's the American dream.
We're talking with James Carafano. He is an expert and an E.W. Richardson fellow at the Great Heritage Foundation, wrote a piece, Jews Have a Home in the Conservative Movement. He co-penned the piece with Jay Green, and it appeared, I think, in the Jewish News Syndicate a little earlier this month. James, when, in your opinion, did this anti-Jewish, I don't know if you want to call it anti-Jewish orthodoxy or whatever, when did it actually start to occur? Because wasn't there a time, especially on campuses in our country, that Jewish people seemed to, you know, be the people that that the liberals were behind?
Yeah, so a good analogy here is to the rise of communism on the American left in the 1930s. It became fashionable, and it was like, oh, social justice. Oh, yeah, Russian peasants, everybody taken care of. And so, again, the left gets seduced to the dark side, and communism becomes kind of fashionable in American liberalism. You know, and then, of course, the Cold War breaks out, and the left renounces them because they're, you know, genocidal murderers. This is the same thing that's happened in the United States in the last 20 or 30 years with the Islamists, right? So a lot of foreign money, a lot of kind of, embracing the Muslim world and the Islamic communities and everything, and kind of bringing them into the tent. And much like the communists in the 1930s and 20s, they weren't in the tent to be nice. They were in the tent to take over. And so when you have, like, the Squad, who are utterly anti-Semitic, and they're also, you know, they're in favor of Islamist terrorists. So, yeah, and so it took a lot of money, and it took a lot of decades, but it was, I think, two things. One is they showed up at the door of the Democratic Party with a lot of money and with the magic button to destroy the institution that prevented the expansion of democratic power.
Indeed.
The American family, the university, traditional value. So that's how we got where we are. It was like China, right? You know, China gave you the COVID, and then all of a sudden you've got a pandemic. We let this evil ideology and money just let it run wild until it essentially became a pandemic.
Have Jewish people finally seen the light overall, or are they still kind of clinging to the idea that they're still a home in the liberal environment? They just have, those liberals just have to get their heads screwed on straight.
Yeah, well, I think we'll see. I mean, you know, for example, we've seen this with African Americans, right? So everybody knows the history of, you know, African Americans moved from the South to the North because of the expansion of industrialization after World War II and opportunity. The Democratic Party, you know, opens them with open arms, and essentially the Democratic Party owns the African-American vote for decades. And now what we've seen is African-Americans say, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Why am I supporting Democratic mayors who are making my city a living hell? So we're seeing, you know, big breaks in the ranks of African-Americans saying, well, you know what? Maybe letting the left take my support for granted, maybe my home isn't a conservative party. We've definitely seen it with Hispanics who come here and they're socially conservative. They're pro-family. They're actually pro-border. They think people should work. right? And they come here and they're told, well, you're a minority, you have to be a Democrat. And now they're saying, oh my God, maybe my, and we're seeing the Hispanics break for conservatives. I think that remember, I don't do politics. I'm not out for vote. I don't even care, right? I don't care who you vote for. And let's be honest, the Jewish vote in America is, maybe it's significant in some areas, but it's not going to, if all the Jews vote for Republican or Democrat, it's not going to swing the national election. I'm just about, what do people want in their lives to make their lives better? You know, where is human flourishing? Where is, you know, the people that are actually going to make you more free, more peaceful, more secure, and more prosperous? And I'm just saying that I think that's the fundamental blocking and tackling of the conservative movement.
Indeed. Indeed. You know, sometimes it takes a long time for the ocean liner to turn around, both perhaps in the Jewish community and in the African-American community, when they finally start to realize they're going in the wrong direction.
You know what gets the ocean liner to rethink what it's doing? When it hits an iceberg, my friend.
That's right. I think you're right. Exactly. Good point. James Carafano, thank you so very much. Really enjoyed it. Look forward to talking with you again down the road, my friend.
I'll tell you, Drew, anytime, because first of all, we love the Tampa Bay area. It is God's gift to the world.
And thank you.
Your show and what you do is just awesome. So anytime we can be with our friends down there, man, it's just a big privilege for us. Thank you.
It's an honor to have you, and thank you very much for your kind words, James. Take good care. All right. James Carafano of the Heritage Foundation. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, you ever hear the doomsday clock? It's closer to midnight than ever before. We're going to talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back. It's Freedom Works on a Wednesday, and we thank you so very much for listening to us. So much going on. Did you watch any of that New Hampshire primary stuff last night? I did. I mean, I was watching Fox News, and about 5 minutes into their broadcast, I think it was around whenever the polls closed there, I think the final polls closed at 8 o'clock or something like that, Eastern time. About 5 minutes later, they called it for Donald Trump. I mean, there was no... I was hoping we would, you know, have a little bit of a contest. I mean, if you're going to sit there with your popcorn, you want to watch something, you want it to take a little while before you win.
Well, now, if you'd have jumped channels for just a minute, gone over to MSNBC, CSR, you'd have found that there is not, Donald Trump is very angry. This is too close.
Now, Ed, were you watching? Don't tell me you were watching MSNBC. I find that hard to believe. Maybe he was. Who knows? We have our buddy, Andrew the Master Barber, here with us. I'm sure he was glued to the TV set. I'm sure he knew what the outcome was going to be. Andrew, so I guess Trump ended up winning the New Hampshire primary by about 10 points. He just kind of made it into double figures. What is your reaction to that victory?
Well, according to what they said, now in Iowa or New Hampshire, anybody can vote in the primaries as long as they were registered before October the 4th, I believe,
October,
right?
Something like October the 4th or the 6th.
And they were
saying you have to change your party affiliate. If you're an independent, you can just go in and vote. If you're a Democrat, you had to change by October the 6th or something.
Yeah, they said that 70% of her votes were not Republicans.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Okay, and she wore a blue dress at the end of it all to show her true colors.
I didn't even notice.
Oh, yeah. Blue.
So, did you listen to Donald Trump's acceptance speech?
Of course.
And your thought? He's so entertaining. You can't help but listen to him, even if you don't like the guy. I mean, the guy he has such a commanding presence, doesn't he?
And the guy's got it together. Listen, he's the only one going to try and turn this country around. There's nobody else going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't get in, it's a mess. But you know what? I don't know why she's going to waste her time in South Carolina.
Yeah.
She's not even liked there. I mean, but you know what? She's got Democrats backing her, Paul, with money.
Yeah.
They want her. They want her for one reason. They could beat her.
Well, that's the interesting. The polls show that Biden actually has a better chance against Trump than he does against Nikki Haley, at least the ones I have seen. Now, Trump, from what I understand, and you know these polls move around, but Trump's got like a 4 or 5 point lead over Biden right now if they were to run the contest right now. By the way, did you hear Biden? After that so-called Democratic vote, where, of course, they had to write his name in.
No, I didn't pay attention.
He was running against, two of the three stooges. So you knew he was going to win that, no matter how that happened.
Well, he's Mo. He's the leader.
Yes, he is. Well, Curly and Larry tried to run against him, and he beat them pretty handily. But, I mean, come on. This guy...
Well, in all seriousness, they can keep their polls. By the time November comes around, the people's pockets in this country are going to be turned inside out because 75 or 80% of these immigrants coming in are all welfare, okay? We cannot feed the world.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
By November, let me tell you something. Biden or anybody they put in there shouldn't stand a chance. Their pockets are going to be emptied. Half of the houses are going to be foreclosed on. Young people can't buy a house. People can't afford groceries. And let's face it, when the toilet paper shortage started, you could buy a 4-pack of toilet paper for $2. All of a sudden, there's a pandemic with a toilet paper shortage. Now it's $9 for 4 rolls.
Yeah, scary.
You know, one thing about Nikki Haley, one of her things about running was she said that she wasn't going to cut Social Security, but she was going to, for the people that are 20 years old and are right now, she was going to raise the age to 70.
There you go.
Now, tell me how the young vote would want to vote for her.
You got to be stupid.
I don't understand. She said she's going to grab the young vote. How can you grab the young vote and tell the young voters, you're going to work until you're 70?
That's right, and by that time, half of you are going to be dead.
Yeah. So, it seems like the number one issue on the minds of the Republican voters in New Hampshire was the border. And I'm not necessarily talking about the northern border, that's where they are, but the southern border, that's how big an issue. Iowa and in New Hampshire. And that is the issue for Republicans. It's the number one, it trumps, if I can use that word, it trumps even the economy and inflation. Go ahead.
Well, let me tell you, I'm surprised at the Supreme Court. Amy Coney Barrett, what's the other guy's name?
Yeah, the Chief Justice,
Roberts,
John Roberts.
Roberts, and then who's the other one? Trump appointed. How could they vote for the feds to take down the barbed wire on the border?
I tend to agree with you. But, you know, it gets to the point that if you read the Constitution, it is the federal government that has jurisdiction over our southern border our border with any country. I agree with you. I think that the Democrats are clearly working against enforcing the rules. That is a different topic. But when it comes to who has jurisdiction, no matter how badly it's being run by the federal government, I think they do have the jurisdiction. But it would seem to me that Texas could approach that whole issue in a different perspective. If they pulled back a little bit from the actual border with Mexico and said, okay, here is an easement area, and after the easement area, this is our land. We're protecting our state, you know?
That's right. That's right. They got every right to.
So run the barbed wire along the easement.
You know, yep, I don't know what's wrong with you guys. I really don't. These migrants that are coming in here, it's just a bunch of people coming in here looking for work and a nice place to live. Oh, wait, that's tomorrow's show. Come on. Sorry.
Hey, there's only so many lawnmowers, Ed.
Boy, you're not going to get away. You're not going to run for
office.
There's
only so many, buddy.
Listen, it's not just lawnmowers. They're very good at doing roofs. I've seen them all over the place down here.
Listen, the Mexicans are the hardest working people I know today.
You know what? They're very yes, they are.
But I'm not vouching for the ones that are coming in. These are not Mexicans.
Listen, they're not all bad.
Of course they're not.
I mean, come on.
90% of them.
Exactly.
95% of them are here to work.
Hardworking people.
Sure they are. Absolutely right. But that doesn't allow them to come in illegally.
With open borders. That's right.
Go ahead.
That's putting the burden on the American people. We cannot support them.
And we have to know who they are.
We're talking with the master barber himself, Andrew. Yeah. And by the way, you want to get a great haircut, guys? I am telling you, there is no better place. They have, and you know what? They got some nice-looking women in there cutting your hair, too. I have to say that, Andrew. You have some. It's a very enticing place, and you're going to get a great haircut. But, you know, back to this situation. When Donald Trump was making his, I said acceptance speech, that's not the right term, victory speech, I guess is closer to it, he mentioned the way he was talking about the people coming across, he did seem to overemphasize bad people, you know, criminals, and they're releasing people. What did he say? Releasing people from their jails or mental institutions?
That's
I think
right.
They have mental institutions to allow them. I think he went overboard a little bit.
Well,
on
you got to remember, along with the good people that we talk about, there are murderers,
there are
rapists,
bad people,
there are drug
5%.
Lords, there are sex traffickers.
They're all over the place. I tell you, we're getting overrun with criminals.
About it. No question, we're letting bad
people in. The Americans are just as bad.
Yeah, absolutely right. No, we have every right to protect our borders. And Biden and his group, why don't the Democrats, even Democrats, especially in the major cities, where all of these illegals are now popping up, they're screaming and yelling about it. You would think that they would finally say, Joe, come on, buddy, enforce the law.
Listen, the person whispering in Joe's ear is Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Okay, so who's going to tell him differently?
Yeah, I don't know what he's thinking, but doesn't he realize, like we were talking with James Carafano a little earlier, about people and misunderstanding how they will react. If they think that all these Hispanics crossing the border are going to vote Democratic, they got another thing coming.
It all depends.
Yeah.
It all depends, Paul. If they come here because they had nothing where they're coming from and the government starts feeding them, it's a whole nother world. As long as they keep them fed, these people are going to be complacent.
But they have a work ethic, and when they start working, they realize they like to see people that earn their own keep.
Well, that's what needs to happen. However, it's just too many.
Oh, no question about it.
You know, it's too many. It's like a snake overeating. And they
yeah.
can't move after.
Yeah, you're right about that.
They're stuck standing where they can't for a month until they overeat, until it's digested. They can't move. And that's what's going to happen to us. We cannot support them, Paul.
Yeah.
You know, years ago we had industry. We were a strong country. The industry, our industry in this country supported the world, okay? We do not have it. The strength of this country was based on its ability to produce. If we are not producing, we are not making money. Mm-hmm. We cannot survive in this country as a service industry to the world. You don't have the money, and they're putting that money out there and supporting the world. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
We're all going to starve.
No, I think you're making a good point. You know, I want to have you comment on this other thing. You know who's been sort of missing in action recently? Have you noticed? Mitch McConnell.
He's probably in a nursing home, the Senate minority leader.
Now, he said yesterday that the New Hampshire primary results are of great interest, but that he has no news to report regarding his endorsement of Trump. He said, I've stayed essentially out of it, but if I change my mind, I'll let you know. He's never been a big Trump supporter. I've noticed that.
It doesn't matter. He's a Republican. He needs to back who the people want.
I think so, too. I think he should be a little more vocal about it.
Look at that. First, he can hardly speak, let alone be vocal. He needs to go. What is he, 87 years old? He can't even stand up.
He's definitely in his 80s. I think he's older than Biden, I think.
I mean, come on. This is what's running our government? Give me a break. Yeah. You know what happened? He's probably in a nursing home, just like the Secretary of Defense was in the hospital, and nobody's talking about
it. Yeah.
I think they're hiding him out in the room next to Biden.
We got more people that are ready to go into nursing homes that are still running our country.
You know, even Trump. Trump, he gets elected, they should give him a cognitive test every year. And you know what? He would do it.
Yeah, I think he would.
That's right. Give him a test every year. Let's prove
maybe
to everybody.
Maybe instead of a debate with Biden, they put them both up there and they have a screen that shows their answers as they ask him cognitive questions. I think that would be very interesting.
I could tell you what they'll do. They will get the person that makes the presidential dummies that they had at Disney World to make one of Biden, and they'll have that behind the podium, and they'll have it moving just like the presidents in Disney World.
An animatronics Joe Biden. I look forward to that. Oh, my God.
That's the only way you could handle that one, buddy. It'd have to be artificial intelligence, because he don't have any.
Okay. Andrew, we love you. Thank you so much, my friend.
I look forward to
talking with you on Friday.
You got it. Have a good day.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Bye-bye.
The Master Barber. Always appreciate his opinion. All right. Hey, we're going to take our break. I promise you, we are going to talk about the Doomsday Clock. I had Andrew. I didn't have time to talk about it, but we'll talk about it in the next segment.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years. And two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so please call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works. By the way, we're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. It's 106.1 FM, 1340 AM. love when you're able to listen to us. If you can't listen live, thanks to the wonderful, beautiful Big Ed, all of our programs are put on podcast. All you have to do at your leisure, go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button. It's up there at the top. Ed's got all our shows on there, so you can listen whenever you want. Most recent shows first. You'll see who the guest is, the topic of with the guest, and our top 10. That's all you need in life. OurFreedomWorks.com. Ed, have you ever heard of the Doomsday Clock?
Yeah.
So you know what it's all
about. It's the one that changes every time it gets closer to the... Yeah.
Yeah, or it'll move back.
Yes.
Okay, well, the Doomsday Clock has determined just how close we are to the end of the world, is basically it. And technically, I guess, when it hits midnight, we're in deep doo-doo.
That's tonight, right?
It might be. The clock was first set up in 1947. You were just a kid. And it operates as a wake-up call for the world about global threats like nuclear war, dangerous technologies, and mass health concerns. I wonder if it got any closer after the COVID-19 was discovered. Maybe it ticked a little bit closer.
I think the closest it ever was the turn of the 2000. 1999 into
2000. Yeah, that was a scary time, too.
Everybody was all scared. The computers were going to crash.
Yes.
Electricity was going to shut off.
Were you worried at that point? Did you think about the fact that, oh, my God, my bank account or something might go screwy?
No.
Yeah. Well, midnight for the Doomsday Clock would mean that experts think that things on Earth are in dire straits, but it's not intended to reach its final point. It's not an actual clock. It's not a countdown. It just serves as a warning. It's a metaphor, the Doomsday Clock, that represents how close humanity is to self-destruction. It was created, as we said, in 1947. It was based on the threat posed at that time by nuclear weapons. Because you remember, right after World War II, we had the atom bomb. We had dropped it 2 years earlier in Japan. And everybody was noticeably concerned that if the bad guys got their hands on the H-bomb or the A-bomb, you know. So in 2007, they actually started taking in other things like climate change as a possible reason for worrying about it. They say in 1991, the clock was the furthest away at 17 minutes to midnight after the collapse of the Soviet Union and the signing of the Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty. That was just shortly after Ronald Reagan left office.
Usually there's a book involved and it's detailed on how it's going to happen. And it's going to happen tonight at midnight. And the book is just $19.95. Now, if we last till tomorrow, the book is only $9.95.
That may be true. Anyway, there you go. That's the Doomsday Clock. All right, Ed, before we get into our... We're doing Super Bowls because, of course, we're in the football playoffs. And last show, we did the top 10 closest games. So what we're going to do this time is the top 10 biggest blowout games. But is there anything new on...
Just a strange story. Last weekend with the Chiefs fans at the Kansas City, people that lived in Kansas City, they had a watch party at somebody's house. And three guys froze to death out back.
Yeah.
And the guy didn't know until 2 days later because he slept on the couch for 2 days.
It was absolutely horrible. What, were they so drunk out of their minds?
I don't know. How did all three of them freeze? You figure one of them would say, it's awfully cold out here. Let's get inside.
Somebody said that one of them had a lot of drugs in him or her.
What about their significant other when they didn't come home that night?
It's horrible.
2 days out back?
Ooh. It's horrible.
It's a good thing it was cold.
It's just a horrible thing to even think about, freezing to death like that, literally, outside. All right, it's time for our top 10. Again, the top 10 most lopsided Super Bowls. So here we go. By the way, that's fine. I was going to say, who gave me this? Anybody could give me this. All right, number 10. It was Super Bowl 19. San Francisco, the 49ers, defeated the Miami Dolphins by 22 points, 38-16. Number 9, Super Bowl 29, and the 49ers won that one again. It was a 49-26 win over the San Diego Chargers. That was a 23-point victory. Number eight. Hey, the very first one. Super Bowl I, Green Bay Packers played the Kansas City Chiefs. 35-10, Green Bay really stuck it to them. 25-point victory. Number seven. Super Bowl 35. The Baltimore, I guess it was the Ravens at this point. The Ravens defeated the Giants 34-7, a 27-point victory. Number six. Super Bowl 18. The L.A. Raiders over the Washington Redskins by 29 points, 38-9. Number five. It's Super Bowl 22. The Washington Redskins over the Denver Broncos by 32 points, 42-10. Wow.
That's the one Doug Williams started in.
I was going to ask. Because he used to play for Tampa. He moved over there to Washington.
That marvelous second quarter, I think it was. And the game was over at halftime.
Wow, yeah.
He threw four touchdown passes in the second quarter.
Oh, you got a good memory. There is a tie, so we're going to say number 3B. Number 3B is Super Bowl 23, Seattle Seahawks over the Denver Broncos by 35 points, 43-8. My goodness. Number 3A, Super Bowl 27, Dallas Cowboys over the Buffalo Bills. Listen to this, 52-17, 35-point victory. Wow. All right. Number two, this one I remember, and I really relished it. Super Bowl 20, the Da Bears, the Chicago Bears over the New England Patriots, 46-10. 36-point victory. All right, Ed, what do you think is the number one?
I thought the Bucks would be in there at Super Bowl 37, but I guess it didn't make it.
It's not the Bucks.
No.
Do you want to guess any other team?
Off the top of my head, I can't.
You were good with you did have the number one closest game. All right, it is Super Bowl 24, and it was the San Francisco 49ers playing the Denver Broncos. It must have been with Joe Montana, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Final score 55-10.
What year was that? Did it say?
It was Super Bowl 24. 67 was the first one, so Super Bowl 24 would have been 24 or 23 years later. About 1991? Does that sound right?
Okay, yeah, that would be Montana, yeah.
Yeah, Joe Montana.
After that would be Steve Young.
Oh, okay, could have been Steve Young, but I think it was Montana. I'm guessing. I don't remember. I don't even remember the game, if you want to know the truth. Anyway, there you go. And we appreciate you have spent the time listening to us today, Wednesday. We will be back on Friday. In the meantime, be careful out there, and always remember, freedom does work.